But
anyway. You're all off track podcast.
That's right. And that's...
I don't know what she took, but she can share.
We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from accessing this sound.
Myself, Mr. B, and you're listening to the ROTPOD Rolling Off Track podcast. And like I was telling my guest here, my co-host, there's no way to plan for the podcast. You just got to get it going, get into the rhythm, get into the groove. But this week, if you guys been seeing all over social media, we have a guest on the Rot Pod. And Tim, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, buddy?
All right, well, I'll introduce her by name, and then I'll let her tell you just a little bit small something about herself before we really go in deep with her. So her name's Amanda Briggs. She's a photographer out of Central Massachusetts. She likes to take pictures of lots and lots of different things, like abandoned places and broken down. It's either, you know, buses, planes, trains, whatever. So what you guys read this week, it's Amanda Briggs from Amanda Studios, and let her tell you a little bit something about herself.
All right. I'm Amanda. I've been doing photography for about 16, 17 years at this point. Pretty much do anything from abandoned architecture, whether it's like planes, buses, asylums, what have you, to landscape. So, ain't that about it?
Pretty cool. And your photography kind of reminds me of Jill's, the way what she does.
Yeah, I've seen some of her stuff. Her stuff's awesome.
Hey, thanks. Yours is too.
Thanks.
What about mine? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Come on, everybody.
What about
mine? You don't want to see mine.
What about all my Instagram posts?
What about the man in the green shirt over there?
You like my shirt?
Yeah, it's fucking green, man.
Why is it green?
Yeah, why is it green? St. Patty's Day, St. Patty's.
St. Patty's somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere. I can't use that.
No, I like her little twist on like the zombie and the undead look.
Oh yeah. It's a. Do you take a lot of pictures in haunted places, Amanda?
There's some places that they say it's haunted. Never felt anything. There's other places where I've shot at that they never heard anything about it being haunted, and I end up leaving with like bruises and scratches on me afterwards.
Wow!
So it really depends on the place.
Have you? So in those haunted places, you have experienced something?
There's been other places that I've been told that it's been like haunted. There's only been one place that I've ever been told that I've actually had an experience in. There's one place that I've shot in Philly that's had several articles written that's haunted, never felt a thing in the place. So I think that can vary depending on like the person too. So.
Oh, okay. So for the listeners, Amanda, you can find her on Instagram. And I looked through a lot of your pictures on Instagram, and the one that I favor is the one with the doll on the couch. It's in a room, and then the big windows are in the background, and then that one doll is on the couch. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, that place was awesome to shoot at. I went there with a few friends to shoot for the day, and every person that I shot with, they all felt stuff in the room. In that particular room, and I felt maybe a little bit, but I was also getting over bronchitis, so I wasn't sure if it was me getting over being sick or if it was something actually there. So.
Oh, okay.
So have you ever felt anything, even when you're not doing photography or shooting in weird places? You ever experienced any kind of paranormal, like in an old house or?
There's been a few places where I'm like, you feel like someone's like looking over, you're looking at you, and there's no one there. especially with like the much older houses that have like a lot of history and with the houses too. But like it can vary from place to place. I found like a lot of places that do have like a ton of history where stuff has happened on the property. You feel that like you're feeling at the places too.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty interesting when you get to experience something in weird places, and you watch all these movies and you hear all these things, but when you experience something, it's a different story.
Yeah, and I think there's been a couple places where I've had stuff show up on my camera like a while ago, so it's always interesting to take the photos and see if there's anything that actually does end up coming up in the photos too.
Cool. All right. Well, through the week, myself and Tim, we've been trying to hype up the listeners, telling them that there's a photographer coming on. So we sent out a form where people can send their question in. So, we can kind of go through that. And, but first, Tim, go ahead and, tell the listeners, the one sponsor that you got this week.
So I've gotten probably about four sponsors. Boss Boxes is one of them. They do monthly boxes. Like right now, June, I think it's PC still, which you guys are running out of time if you have not gotten your box yet.
It's got a few hours left.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's PC. I don't remember what next month is, but it might be PS4. But I got Sponsored Gamers. That was another sponsor I picked up this week, which they're pretty cool. You can go under there, fill an out application, and they'll do almost like a sponsorship form for you, and they'll spit it out to all over the place and get kind of help you get some sponsors where you normally couldn't. And then what's the name of that one? What is it?
Technisport.
Yeah. It's computer chairs. It's got the racing computer chairs, all different colors, yellow, blue, reds, blacks. They're really comfortable. They range anywhere from 300 to 700.
Those chairs that you're sponsored by, it reminds me of those Maxwell picture. Remember the cassette tapes? And that guy sitting in his chair and the wind's blowing in his face and he's holding onto the chair. That's what it reminds me of.
It's like this?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can see like all the stuff blowing back.
Yeah, so that's how I think how cool those chairs are.
I also got fade grips. I ordered some actually the other day, plus I got some. They should be in so I can give a review as soon as they come in. I also got a PS4 controller, a skin for it almost. It's like a hard shell.
Yeah.
So when that comes in, I can give you a review about that to see how those are all working out.
That's pretty cool.
My code is capital D's, lowercase O, capital G, 10. That's my discount code for 10% off on all of those sponsors. So that is my sponsors for this week.
Pretty good. And yeah, to everybody, the more, I guess, merchandise, more tech, more gaming stuff that we're getting, we'll be able to talk more about that and just being able to experience a lot of things. Right, Tim?
Almost certainly. The more, you know, the more we get, the more we experience, the more we can pass on a yay or a nay, thumbs up, thumbs down to the listeners of whatever they're into, really. I mean, I'm starting to dabble in a lot of stuff between the chairs and the grips and the gels for the controllers. And who else knows what I'll get this year?
Yeah, sounds pretty good. When you're talking about experiencing, I got to experience my friend lend me a portable recorder. It's kind of like an all studio in one. I don't think it would be, it's not a photography topic, but it's more like an audio podcast related. And it's, I have just a small review up on the website. I think a lot of people have read it already. And, but this little, Tascam audio recorder, it's good if you don't have a PC beside you all the time, and you know how you have a PC and you have those the software to edit, record, and mix everything up. If you don't have that, this little Tascam recorder will be real, real good.
Yeah, I saw you post that, what was that, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what's this little gadget he has now?
So I think this guy got it for like $250. So and then the last sentence that I put on that blog page was if any of the listeners have any questions about it, or if they think I should recommend it, it just depends on what you're going to use it for. So some people they could use it, some people they can't. I just can't say don't use it. It's not worth it. But different people can use it and others can.
Do you actually try it out?
Yeah, I actually used it on the past two podcasts.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but it wasn't.
You little sweet guy, you didn't even tell us.
It wasn't. The mic didn't go through it or anything, just because there were the output was kind of tricky. So it's good. Like if we were doing this podcast right now live together, it would be good for that. But if it's over Skype and over the web, then it doesn't really make sense to use one of those.
Yeah. So what other toys and gadgets are you thinking about getting for the podcast here? Let's go on that topic for 2 seconds.
All right. I'm still receiving a Boss Boxes box. So that's the latest one that I'm waiting for. See what kind of stuff is in there. What's that?
You ordered a box?
Yes, I ordered one.
Did you, can you explain, okay, can you explain the process of, because I've had a couple questions asked to me, and I have not ordered any yet. I know Voluda Joker did order one, and he had a couple questions. Did you get an email, explain to me the process of, after you ordered it, to clarify some things.
Okay, for this process, I was helping my buddy out here, Dog of Days, what? So I went on to Boss Boxes, I picked my box, and the one I picked was the Xbox One, just because my son has an Xbox One, and I want him to use some of the stuff that I want to use. And so everything that's going to come in the box, well, I'm going to use and get a review. So either for myself or my son. But I got the Xbox One box, was going to check out, and there's this little space right there to type in your promo code. You can't miss it when you're checking out. And just for me, the using your code DOG10, it didn't matter if it was uppercase or lowercase. I used all lowercase, so just type in DOG10 and hit the enter, and it automatically deducts the discount on there. So which is pretty good. It's real easy. Then after that, you just use your card or PayPal. So I usually do purchases on the web with PayPal. So
did you get a tracking number?
After that, they send you an email saying that your order was purchased, but it hasn't shipped yet. I don't think it's shipped yet. And even on the website, if you read down below, scroll down below your order, it'll tell you that it'll take 5 days to 7 days to process your order. And it takes 1 to 2 weeks to deliver to your home.
Okay, so, that's good information to know, because that was a lot of people asking that question of, I ordered 5 days ago. I have not gotten a shipping confirmation. I haven't gotten an email. I haven't gotten a tracking number. There was a lot of confusion of, wasn't like a normal, probably because they have to hand pick it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe after the 4th of July weekend, I'm thinking I should expect an email saying that your delivery is on its way. Look for it. Here's your tracking number. So if I'm thinking, if I don't hear anything next week, and then we'll get on it and see how we could get those emails out or something like that. We'll question them.
Yeah, and to clarify your the upper and lowercase. The reason why I pretty much just tell everybody capital D, lowercase O, capital G is because I'm not sure if it matters across the board on my sponsors.
Okay. Yeah. So,
so I just try to keep it simple, and because I know one of them, I think Boss Boxes was one of them that told me that as long as they put DOG in, it doesn't matter. You know, DOG 10. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's upper or lowercase. But I mean, I don't know if that's every sponsor that it doesn't really matter, or if some do, some don't.
And after I placed the order, I went back through just like pretending I was going to place another order. And I actually did the uppercase 10, and it still worked. So either way, lowercase or however you wanted to enter it, it still works.
That's good to know.
Yep. And yeah, I guess real quick, Dog of Days, you can probably, if you have anything to your topic for this week, and then we got after your topic, we got some questions for Amanda.
So my topic, I haven't really got to look it up all that well, but somebody, it might have even been you who was telling me about the new PlayStation coming out.
The 5 or the Pro?
I think the Pro's already out. I think 5. Was it you who sent me the specs on it?
No, I seen your post about it, though.
All right, because, yeah, somebody told me about it, and I didn't really get the chance to exactly see all the specs, but I was wondering if you have.
Let's see.
I mean, this isn't really a topic of normal either, but it's from my own knowledge here. I missed it, and I haven't had a chance to look it up, so.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, let me see if I can find something on it real quick.
Hey, dude. Okay, so I have the picture of it right now. I don't know how many listeners actually have seen this thing, but holy shit.
Is it future-like?
Yeah, it's got a honeycomb on it with blue. It almost looks like something that came from NASA.
Oh, NASA.
Do you have any pictures up right now of it?
The picture I see is there's a chip on it.
Hmm. Right now, the picture I have up is it's on its side. It's got the blue lights. Two blue lights that go down, not quite centered, but... and in white, it's got PS5. And it's got honeycomb all on the edge. It looks like the front, but it's all blue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't see that one.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know if that's the actual unit or what the hell that is, but... That's kind of weird.
Okay, the specs that I'm getting right now is it doesn't actually have numbers, but it's just saying, like, of course, 4K. It's saying 8 cores, but I'm thinking 8 cores is too... The Xbox One X is, like, 16 cores, so I don't know how that... So maybe I'm looking in a different place, but the specs I'm seeing right now, this PS5 doesn't look all that great. Of course, it comes with a terabyte hard drive, so that should already... In this day, I guess every console should come with a terabyte, right?
Oh, definitely, if not more. I think actually more than that because, you know, like the PS4 comes with the 500 gigs.
Yeah.
And I put like 3 or 4 games on there, and it's full. And I usually end up having to delete games and then having to freaking reinstall them. And there's nothing worse than that. So I'm honestly going to say, since I do game a lot and I game a lot of games... maybe 2 tera.
2 terabytes, yep.
Here's I think a... that would be...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that would be a comfortable... Because you usually have a console for a couple of years, so I think 2 teras would be a comfortable place to be without having to upgrade and all that shit.
Yeah, 2 terabytes is pretty good. And the one thing that they're trying to discuss and figure out is if they want to go disk drive or digital, all digital.
You know... I have mixed feelings on that. So all digital is cool, fine and dandy. You don't have to go to the store. I mean, because you don't now. You can just go right on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live or whatever. But
yeah,
I still like having the box artwork.
Yeah,
and the disc because I don't know. Like with digital, like shit happens. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I know it's backed up in the PlayStation Network store, and you know, once you buy it, it says, you know, whatever, purchased, and you can re-download it. But I don't know. I like having the artwork, the box, the old school, the disc.
Yeah.
What I don't like is how I don't know how they could get around this, or I don't know if they already have gotten around this for the PlayStation 5. I'm not a big fan of play, like in PlayStation, you pop the disc in. You gotta have like 3 hours to friggin' wait before you play, because it downloads, or it goes in, but then it has to download later, has to install.
Yeah,
I don't really like that shit because like Battlefield, it got all screwed up, and I was trying to play last week, and it took like friggin' 1 hour and 10 minutes total. and it said it was only an update, but it just sat there and. After it downloaded, it's like, no, I have to install. It's like, Jesus Christ, you know, I can't do this.
That's the one thing me and my son learned when we first got his Xbox One, all the discs that we bought. he was used to putting a disc and playing that night, but we had to put the disc in, let it do all its thing, and then the next day he would be able to play. So he got used to that.
Sucks. Bring that thing home, you rip it open, you want to play. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and then the last thing I'm saying about that is if you go digital, then you could preload it the evening before the release, and it downloads everything. Then when the day that it releases, it actually like unlocks it, so you could play right then and there. So that's a good thing about digital.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that part of things. You know, you go to work, it already starts downloading by itself. But so off that topic, my next one, I guess, is we'll talk about sponsorships and all that stuff. So what's your goal with sponsorships? What are you doing?
It kind of revolves around why I started the podcast, is to help people out with recommendations and what is good and bad out there. So with sponsorship, I want to be sponsored by people that I actually can and talk about and say yay or nay about it. I don't want anybody that just, it's not going to be for the money. It's just going to be I love doing this podcast. I love technology. I love gaming and all that. I just want to experience as much as I can. And if the sponsorship will let me do that and actually share what I know to the people, family, friends, and the fans out there. Thanks for listening, by the way. Then I'll do that all day long. So it's so gaming, tech, if I can talk about it, then I'm up for it. So that's what I think about the sponsorships that would come my way.
I wish sponsorships were kind of like back in the heyday where, and I know, you know, there's endorsements, sponsorships, all that stuff. But even with sponsorships back in the day, like a lot of them would give you like a little bit of free product. So yeah. You could actually, like, so you could, you know, try it out, see what the company's all about. And like, that was their token for you doing the social media and, you know, billboarding for them type of thing.
Yeah.
And now they don't, like, they're very cheesy now. Like, they're like, oh, you know, just buy, make a purchase, you know, and all this shit. And I'm like, wow, really? Like, if you want me to do all the legwork, I mean, I'm happy to, but don't you think like grips or something? I'm not talking about like I want a Ferrari. I'm talking about like, you know, grips and just simple things that we're supposed to try out and test.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't cost that much. They're like $2. Like, send me a pair, like, so I can actually go on my stream and try them out and be like, hey, okay, hey guys, this is pretty sweet. You know, if you're sweaty, you don't lose control of your joysticks and all that shit. But no, they don't do that no more.
Yeah, maybe we're still new to it. Maybe it does get that way. I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Bruh. I don't know either. Brah.
Brah. But that box, I'm waiting for it to come in, and I'm ready to try those paw print grips.
Yep.
Brah.
So I might order, what is it, the big box there,
legendary.
I might just go all out and just do that box, and I'm just waiting to see what they have. I'm waiting to see some new boxes listed, you know.
Yeah, and probably July. I wonder what's going to be for July.
I wonder if it's going to be like PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, or because it won't be PC because PC was June.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I know it won't be that, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just holding off for an excellent box.
Cool. Alrighty. And you know how you're saying like you have to have the game case, you have to have the movie case, you have to have the CD case in your hands, kind of like a book. When you're reading a book, you got to have that physical book in your hand. It's kind of same thing with photography. You got to have you got to print out the pictures. You got to see it. You got to feel it in your hand. Right, Jill, Amanda?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yep.
They're sleeping. We talk too much.
So with that, do you guys ever, do you guys still print? And on top of that first, so do you guys print? And then the question from a listener is, how do you set your camera photos and match them to the size of a print? Example, 4x6 without doing some editing on Photoshop. Because this listener's picks, they get cut off for different sizes. So how do you set your camera photos and match them to the size of a print?
I know this problem because I frequently come across this problem where I can edit pictures all I want, and then if you want to, I do a lot of stuff for, like, my family. They'll be like, oh, I want one of these, or, you know, let's send this to so-and-so. And it's like, the quickest way for me to print something out would be to send it to, like, Walgreens, Walmart, one of the quick one-hour photo places. And they don't have compression software, so every photo that you send to them gets cropped. And so, thankfully, they give you the option of where it crops, but they don't give you the option to print the whole picture.
Yeah.
And the only way that I've been able to get around that, other than to print in a professional manner with my own equipment, is to I have to go in and add, like, a black border around the outside, and that way it crops the border and not the image itself.
Cool, cool. Amanda, you have anything on this?
I do things a little bit differently. When I order prints, I actually make sure that they're the size that they're being printed out for. I use a National Nations Photo Lab for all my printing, just because the quality with the prints and everything is so much better than anywhere else that I've taken prints at, gotten prints at. So if I'm getting like a 20 by 30 print, I make sure that the photo is a 20 by 30 size. If it's like a 4x6, I make sure it's a 4x6. So, like, I'll edit the photo how I want it, and then make sure it's the size that I want it to be printed out as.
Oh, okay.
But every photographer does things a little bit differently on how they want to do prints and everything else, and where they get the prints done at. So it's all based on the photographer and how they want to do things.
Okay, cool, cool. That's pretty good input from Jill and Amanda. And we'll try the next one. Do you believe that digital iPhone photography will ever actually catch up with a professional level?
So no. Listen, good topic. Whoever sent this question, and thank you. This is a very good topic. So I may have mentioned this once before, but I'm kind of really passionate about it. So I came across an article when I was still in school. It was about iPhone photography, and there was a magazine that actually had their photographers use only the iPhone 6, and they were like, this is the only camera that you can use. Leave your professional ones at home. See what you can come up with this. And I was impressed with the way that their photos came out, and it really began to blur the lines for me between my phone camera and my DSLR. That's one of the hardest things that I compete with myself with, is my phone takes instant picture here, right now, it's ready, here you go. But anything I take on my DSLR, I have to at least edit it a little bit, if not just to get it into a form that everybody can see it on. And so I very much struggle with the, which camera do I use? And I actually even went out as far as to use my iPhone for a professional image that I took for one of the last things I did in college. And I was able to print it at the same size I printed everything that was from my DSLR, and you can't see a difference in the quality. It very much stood up perfectly with everything else that was printed and hung up. So it will never be the same. There will never be a point in time that I will be at somebody's wedding and using my iPhone to take all of their pictures. It will just never happen, because there's too much more you can do with your raw images than you can with your little iPhone JPEG.
Amanda,
I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Considering I don't have an iPhone, so I would not, for starters, I wouldn't even be able to do iPhone photography. I've seen some great photos being able to be used from an iPhone, but I prefer to be able to use my digital camera I've gotten some great photos from, you know, my Android, but it's nowhere in comparison to, like, my digital camera. If I'm going to take some quality photos, I would rather use my DSLR or my mirrorless camera than a cell phone. If I have a paying gig, I'm not, like I did like a few weeks ago where I shot a wedding, I'm not going to sit up there and take wedding photos with my Samsung Galaxy phone. I'm going to be using my camera.
I think if you do that also, I think people are more, they want to see the professional big camera instead of an iPhone, and I don't think people would take you seriously as well, right?
For like any paying gig, I highly doubt someone would take you seriously if you're using a cell phone for anything, especially if it's, say, a paying gig. I've had quite a few paying gigs over the years, and I much rather use my, you know, I have a DSLR and a mirrorless camera. I would rather use one of those versus a cell phone. If I'm out shooting and taking a quick picture to send to a friend being like, hey, here's where I'm shooting today. Yeah, no problem. I'll use my cell phone. But that's just my two cents, you know?
Yep. Android J7. What about you, Tim? What do you have?
I got a Note 5.
Jill?
iPhone 6S.
iPhone, the only iPhone here?
Yep.
Probably.
Restless Android.
I have everything Apple.
She really does, too. Everything. Like, even her clothes are made out of Apple. She's like, I'm not blowing my nose with that tissue. It's not made from Apple. I'm like, oh, all right.
Apple only wipes my ass for me.
Smells like apple potpourri.
Apple potpourri. Cool.
Apple spice. Bruh.
And next one for you photographers. What type of lighting do you recommend purchasing for taking photos inside a building with limited space?
Well, for me to solve this problem, I recently purchased myself a Canon Speedlight. I believe it is the 430 RT3, I believe is its name. And that has fared well enough for me for what I'm doing. I guess it really depends on what kind of photography you do. If you are doing events like weddings and things like that, you would have to get into using stand set up lights in a specific area, and then the flash that goes on top of your camera can also sync with those, so you get plenty of lighting.
I've seen those in pictures once. But I ain't no photographer, so don't ask.
Amanda, you can give your two cents, too.
I agree with what Jill said, too. I've done some portrait work as well in the past, and I've also used, like, a ring light. You can either get one just for your camera. They can be able to sell those separately just for, like, specific lenses. But you can also get, like, a much bigger one where it'll stand right on, like, a tripod, like its own stand, where it's actually much bigger. Those work as well, especially if you're trying to get a certain light. But I pretty much concur with what Joe said as far as lighting.
So the ring light, you wouldn't really recommend that one?
I've used it for some portrait stuff. And there's a bunch of lighting kits you can be able to find, like, right online. If you're just starting out using with lighting kits, there's so much that you can be able to find online that are reasonably priced if you can't be able to, you know, pay an arm and a leg for lighting. You can be able to find something like on Amazon to be able to purchase like a starter kit. You know, it'll be a couple lamps for at least lighting, and it'll be like a good starter kit to see what works and what doesn't work for what your lighting needs are.
Oh, okay. So I guess if you want to start off with getting the light, to start off with the ring, and then when you start using the ring, then you'll find out that you can get better lighting by purchasing the other ones?
It can vary depending on what, like, your needs are, like, and what you're shooting, too. Because at least for the stuff that I've done lighting for, I've done, like, a couple standalone lights with, like, a softbox and, like, a ring light just because I was shooting portraits. But with other stuff, like weddings and everything else, like, I'll go with what Jill recommended.
I actually have one of her pictures up now that's behind the scenes with a local musician. Is that what you're kind of talking about, where you look like you have the camera on the tripod with the, what are these, stand-up lights?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's like way back when I first got my first lighting kit. They're portable. It's a starter kit. At least it's like a couple lights. Bing, boom, if you need to, you should be able to add a softbox to it to soften some of the light so it's not as like harsh. And say if you go to like Amazon, I've gotten lights from Cowboy Studio in the past. There's various kits that you can be able to purchase. Some are on the cheaper side, some are on the bit more of the expensive side. And they'll include, for the cheaper ones, they'll include like the basic lights. More of the expensive ones include like the much higher ones, great lights with the soft boxes, the gels, and everything else that you need.
Okay, cool, cool. And yeah, you guys are answering these questions pretty good. Next one. What program do you recommend for editing photos besides Photoshop?
It's called Lightroom. It is made by Adobe, and it actually works hand in hand with Photoshop if you need things like Photoshop. But I personally do, I would say, like 99.9% of all of the work that I do just in Lightroom. I use Photoshop very rarely for certain specific needs.
With both of them, are they sort of the same price, or is one more?
Okay, so Adobe came out with this thing they call the Creative Suite, and you can either, it's a paid subscription, it is a monthly subscription, or you can obviously pay for the whole year. They have specific packages that are for photographers where you get both Lightroom and Photoshop for, I think, $10 a month, which equates to $120 a year. So you can go out and purchase a Photoshop license for probably $400 or $500. Or they also, I've still seen them, even though they said they weren't going to do this anymore, I have still seen Lightroom 6 has, they still sell it, a separate license that you can buy in a store. It comes on a disc. I've seen them at Best Buy. I believe they are $100, maybe $150. I don't quite remember, but somewhere in that range. So
for Jill, you recommend Lightroom?
Lightroom.
Anything outside Photoshop, I would recommend Lightroom.
Anything?
That's two for Lightroom.
Photoshop and Lightroom, they both do the same thing, right?
Not really. Okay, so Photoshop is much more difficult to edit multiple images at the same time. And in Lightroom, I can take a series of images that I've taken with the same, like in the same instance. So I'm in a studio setting, I use the same light settings and all of that. And if I need to edit out the ceiling because I took the photo too high, I can crop the first photo and then crop every single other one at the same exact time. I don't have to individually go in and say, fix the same stuff on the same pictures.
No, okay.
I can sync the pictures to look the same.
So which one do you guys use to do the watermarks?
Lightroom. It does it upon export.
Okay.
Cool, cool. What class or training do you recommend for a person who has limited skills in photography?
liking these questions. This is good stuff.
These are difficult questions.
These are good questions.
From the listeners.
This is some brand new to RotPod, our questionnaire. And I'm loving this. I'm liking this. This is good shit.
So, I personally sent myself to school and got a bachelor's degree with a Bachelor of Arts degree. My major was photography and social media, or digital media, I should say. And since the university no longer offers the art program, I can't recommend them to you. And I guess it really depends on where you live. If you are local to the New Hampshire area, in Manchester they have a school. Well, it's not really a school. They call it the Studio of Photographic Arts. They call it the SOFA. And they offer classes that help you learn lighting techniques and all sorts of things like that. And they have studio spaces that you can rent. They have memberships that you can apply for and get so that you can pay less for your class sessions. But other than that, I don't really know. Amanda, do you have any suggestions?
I went to art school but didn't actually focus on photography. I went for a completely different major. I learned how to like do photography and editing in Photoshop and Lightroom all on my own. There's so many tutorials out right online. There's Lynda.com. There's the Arcanium right online if you like doing the online thing. If you're in the Massachusetts area, there's Mass Art that has classes for photography. There's the New England School of Photography that is pretty much all photography. If you don't want to actually, you know, get a degree in photography, they also do workshops as well. They're 1 or 2 day photography workshops, which is great if you only want to take it for like 1 or 2 days, and they have beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels for different things that you want to do. So there's so many resources that you can be able to do online and also like in the area too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, these questions are coming from listeners. And that questionnaire was pretty good, huh, Tim? Did you get to see it?
I loved it. It's a good addition.
Yeah, so the we'll start doing that for the Rot Pod. But we got three more questions for you guys.
Wow.
Three more.
Yeah, that's a good turnout. Woo! The first time we've had questions.
All right, next one. Does Amanda hold any photography classes? If so, what dates, times, website? Thanks.
As of now, I haven't done a class. I've always had friends ask me to teach them stuff, of like on one-on-one sessions or we're out shooting. I've always have them asking me questions as far as like settings, how to edit stuff. I'm heading down to Philly this weekend seeing friends, and I've had one of my friends asking me how to edit stuff because he's not that familiar with Photoshop. And when I'm editing, I spend about 3/4 of my time in Photoshop. So that comes pretty natural for me, but he's still learning how to do Photoshop. So if they would like to be able to like take like a class or have questions about anything, you can always email me Amanda@manderstudios.com or contact me through Facebook or Instagram, and we can easily set something up.
Pretty good. And since you mentioned spend the most of your time in editing, Jill and Amanda, what's the latest that you stayed up to finish a project?
All-nighter. Listen. So this is what college is all about for me. Was doing all-nighters before something was due to make sure that anything I was finish or turn in was in its tip-top shape. I never lived on campus, but spent many nights finding random places to sleep on campus because it didn't make sense for me to drive home and then drive back 2 hours later. So
As long as it was made out of apple.
Oh, God. But I've put countless hours in editing and preparing and doing all of those fun things.
For me, I want to say between 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then went off shooting a sunrise shortly after, since I was up anyways.
Those are my favorite.
Yep, 3:45, she's like, well, I'm heading out. What the hell are you going at 3:45? I gotta catch the sunrise. Okay.
Is your refrigerator running?
Isn't it right?
And then one question from me, it's along the same thing as gamers. What's your caffeine of choice?
You'll like this answer. Nothing.
Nothing?
I do not drink coffee. I don't drink energy drinks. I don't even eat chocolate. I have zero intake of caffeine.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
like I bleed Rockstar.
Rockstar.
Seriously.
I like
coffee. That's right.
Rockstar. And you, Amanda?
I like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
With creamer or no creamer?
With cream.
What you meant to ask her is with cream and sugar?
Cream and sugar.
Say?
Cream and sugar.
With his cream, the sugar.
If you're from the Boston area and you order from Dunkin's, it's a regular coffee.
Yep. I usually do 6 and 6.
3 and 3.
But I do 6 creams, 6 splendors.
All right, Tim. Easy, buddy. Easy.
I just had to throw that out there.
Hey, Amanda, can you say Boston again?
Why does everybody give us shit for that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Next one. When do you consider yourself... Okay, this is funny.
This is funny.
When do you consider yourself a pro selfie photographer? After how many selfies?
Oh, this shit gets good.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
A professional selfie firm? Listen,
I can't even stop.
Everywhere you go, if you're taking selfies, you're probably a professional selfie photographer.
Get the stick, too?
Yes. The stick really upgrades you.
The selfie stick is the worst.
I know. People walk around hitting you with a damn thing all to get a selfie.
My favorite is when I was in Paris watching the Eiffel Tower light up for the night, and there were all of these Chinese people around me.
Oh,
every single one of them had a damn selfie stick, so it was just like you could barely see the Eiffel Tower. All you could see were all these sticks around in the sky. It's like, oh my god.
I was in Prague, and that's all you saw.
Yes.
Same with Vegas. Jesus. That's horrible.
Would you consider the tripod, like with the flexible legs and all that, the same as a selfie stick?
Oh. Well, actually, I guess it depends on how you use it.
Just depends on how you use it, huh?
Depends on who you beat with it.
Cool. And one more question. I guess this could go for you also, Tim. For Amanda, Tim, and Jill. Amanda, Tim, Jill. Say that 5 times real quick, Tim.
Yeah. Ladies and Jill.
6 and 6.
6 foot 6 feet. Wait a minute. Hashtag.
All right. What was your earliest memory gaming? First game? First console?
Okay. I got this one first. All right. So first console, NES. Well, I won't say it's first console. I've had a couple consoles before. But the real, the ones I really remember would be with the NES. Remember Ice Hockey and Tecmo Bowl?
Tecmo Bowl, yeah.
Bo Jackson? Remember Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
You could not catch that son of a bitch? Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say the NES. I mean, I had Ataris, I've had Neo Geos, I've had all kinds of shit. But the NES, me and my brother really, really, really played a lot. And it was the Duck Hunt. It was Metal Gear when it first came out. Remember the Q-tips and blowing the cartridges? Remember that?
Yeah.
Because you put it in, damn thing had lines and pixelated shit. And you're like, oh, man. You get that wet Q-tip, just rub it down the friggin' thing.
or even when the game is still in, you kind of move it back and forth?
Yeah, a little wiggle job. Yeah. And so yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say the Ice Hockey, the Duck Hunt, Tecmo Bowl, Excite Bike. Remember that?
Excite Bike.
Excite Bike. That was where I was at, man. You had to hit the little triangle jumps there just right to land. Yeah. You lost time. And you remember the sound? It was like. So you had that. I could do it once more if you'd like. And how about the what was the basketball? Double dribble? Was that on
double
NES?
Dribble? Double dribble. Yeah, that was NES.
Double dribble.
and then when they dunk, it's all.
Yeah, the backboard was like. So yeah, NES is where it's at. Yeah. N64 was a close second.
Double.
But that was the first console. How about you? Anybody?
What was the first console?
First memory. Memory, either with a console, game, or your first game.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm going to have to say when I... Okay, weird story. So, I was once very young, and I was sleeping... No, this is why people love me. So I was sleeping, and my dinner did not agree with me. So I threw up on myself. and my father came in the room, and he was like, okay, let's go. Give me a shower. And my sister was still up, and she was playing Atari. And so because I didn't feel good, and my sister was wonderful, and she was like, oh, here. You should try playing. So she puts the Atari controller in my hand and teaches me how to make burgers on pressure cooker. And you have to match all of the colors to what they're supposed to be, and you have to keep moving over and make all the burgers and deliver them where they're supposed to be. Yeah.
And 8 days later, she's still making burgers. And puke all over herself.
The puke was washed off in the shower, okay? That's my fun story for the
Amanda.
It was the first Nintendo, and playing Super Mario Brothers.
I was
a good one.
Yeah, so I would agree with that one. Also, that was my first game, first console. I remember going to the store with my mom and my older brother, and it was just us three. It was supposed to be for my older brother. But somehow when we got home, my mom kept telling my older brother, let him play. So the console was supposed to be for my older brother. So that's crazy how it turned out. So I ended up playing Mario, and it was all good. That started my gaming.
All goes downhill from there.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely went downhill. Emptied your pockets right out, too.
All right, cool. So hopefully you enjoyed yourself on the Rot Pod, Amanda.
It was definitely fun.
It's different as well, too.
It is.
Have you ever done podcasts before?
A few jobs ago, I did it for my job, but as far as like the independent stuff, not really.
Oh, okay. Cool. And those questions were all from our listeners also. It was from the questionnaire. And on that, I could put the option in to have the email and who it comes from, but I just opted that out. So those questions is, you could say it's anonymous right now. And for those guys that submitted those questions, thank you very much. It made some good questions for good topics on this episode.
Yeah, I will definitely say it's... That adds a little bit more to the podcast, especially coming from the listeners.
Yeah,
I always urge the listeners to maybe put a little something into it. You know.
Yes, sir.
I think it adds for a better show.
Yep. Cool. All right. So from the listeners again, it's another episode recorded, and there's more coming. More news, there's a lot of things coming from the Rot Pod, especially from Tim and Jill joining the Rot Pod. They got a lot of stuff to add to the Rot Pod. So listeners, keep listening. There'll be more next week, maybe even half the week. Maybe we're trying
hey,
to
next,
We're thinking of
next Friday, dude.
Yeah, so we're thinking about doing something a little extra on the Rot Pod, and then to let you guys know about next Friday is what is the name? Mandy, right, Tim?
Yes. I wish I had my phone.
So Mandy, she's another podcaster, and she's around social media also, and she got in contact with Tim or vice versa, and she'll be joining us next week on the podcast. So she's a podcaster, so the questions I'll be sending out again this week, and you guys just ask your questions on whatever. It'll be like a photography, gaming, tech, around that area. So all right, and for myself, you can find everything at rollingofftrackpodcasts.com.
All right, yeah, you can find mine, my Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram at doggadays23, and that's with a Z. All my sponsors from Fade Grips, Boss Boxes. Who else do I got? Fade Grips, Boss Bosses. All my rest of my sponsors that are up on my social media. I have so many right now and so many new ones that, I'm still getting used to having 1,000 different things to be saying. So, but you can find all my stuff there, Doggadays, with the Z23, just like my Twitch.
You can find all of my stuff with Jill the Photog. That is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Feel free to say hello. And don't forget also that I have the Tell Me the Story project is always ongoing. Facebook.com/Tell Me the Story Project. I posted a new story up this week, so give it a like. Let me know what you think. And feel free to participate.
And Amanda, anything you want to let the listeners know about you? Your website, any social media, any way to get in contact with you?
You can always reach me at my website, meanderstudios.com, or through social media, either on Facebook or Instagram at meanderstudios.
Awesome. So for next week, Mandy Osipenka from Little Geek Podcast, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace. What?